Hey guys, it's Brianna, and I am joined by my friend and co-host, Christina.
Hi everyone.
And you are listening to Oh Brother,
your favorite Big Brother podcast.
Listen as we discuss all of the alliances, backdoors, and twists you love to watch. Here we are. Shauna's back. How do you feel? I can't believe the last time we recorded, the first thing we talked about was pressure cooker.
I'm confused.
That feels like so long ago.
Oh, it feels like yesterday to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Pressure cooker?
Yeah. I feel like I think I didn't watch as much feeds.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's
also
been.
But I didn't really watch that much for the episode we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Or the episodes we're about to talk about. I really didn't watch that much feeds either. I don't feel like.
Okay, I amend my statement. It feels like it was a long time ago, but like jack shit has happened since.
Yeah, that's true.
Like there
especially
hasn't been a lot
because
of
that
content.
Eviction was canceled, so like it's just been the same motherfuckers hanging out.
Oh, because yeah, he dragged him back in the house. Uh-huh. I was like, what are you talking about? No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Anyways, speaking of that, that's where the episode started, was their whole recap on Jag staying. And it was Matt telling Jag and Ceree that he got the power, which kind of surprised me at first. Obviously, I thought he would tell Jag, but him telling Ceree was surprising to me. I guess I knew that they were working together. I knew he trusted her. But it just further, like, makes me wonder what voodoo, like, she has done to these people. That they all, like, flock to her like that.
Yeah, I guess once you're in a good position, even the people that don't want to flock to you feel like they need to do something to kind of, like, get in your good graces.
Right, because she's controlling everything.
But yeah, it was interesting. But I definitely thought that Matt hadn't told Jag, just based on his reaction in the live episode.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to put on a good act. I don't know. He seemed very shocked.
But then we found out later that in the moment, Matt was freaking out because he was like, oh, I used the power. I swear I used the power, because he thought like the eviction was going, even though they were just dragging it out for like the shock value of like viewers and like house guests. And so I think in the moment he said, they didn't show it, but like he whispered in Jack's ear, like, I swear I used it. I swear I used it. Because then later they had a conversation about that, but we didn't see it in the episode. So the whole thing was surprising. I figured that Matt had the power, no one knew, and that he wasn't going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of that happened. I think that's the only time, we kind of talked about it last episode, but that's the only time this season I've been shocked.
Yep, same.
But of course, the secret doesn't stay between those three, because Ceree tells Jared, which was a mistake. Because then Jared was really sketchy talking to Jag and basically like outs his mom.
And I got his position. Like, I understood what he was trying to do, regardless of whether I think it was ever going to be a good game move.
Right.
I like understood what he was doing, but don't do it to your mom.
Yeah. Anyone else? Sure. And then Ceree found out that Jared told Jag that she knew in like a roundabout way. And so she kind of like scolded him for it. So then he tries to like flip it back on Jag, being like, bro, like you shouldn't have said anything, blah, blah, blah. It was just a weird, like, I think Jared should have just let it lie.
Yeah, I don't understand why he went back to him, unless he had the intent to now make Jag a target. Like, oh, I don't trust you. I couldn't tell you something and not have you get it to the other side of the house. I'm like, just have your mom tell you and then be like, all right, let's move on. Especially if you still want to work with Jag.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Weird.
There's no reason to pull him aside to smooth it over.
Yeah, all you did was make him have a little red flag in the back of his mind of like, I can't trust Jared and Ceree.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it did. And I think he trusts Ceree less than he trusts Jared now.
Yeah.
Which is not good for either of them. Then we got to the HOH competition, which was BB Odd Couples, and it's a scramble verse competition. And this is interesting because I didn't think of this until I was writing the notes for this episode. But in previous weeks where it's been scramble verse, it's affected the game that week. So like the first time with scramble verse was when they first went in the house and they did nominations first and then HOH save people. The second time it was scrambles verse was when Cam was HOH, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I guess that was Comic that saved Jag.
Yeah, it was comic. I was just thinking that too. Okay, I was so like, maybe it's the beginning of Scramble, but it was comic.
Never mind. Because I was going to say, like, why...
Switch it up.
Why wasn't there some kind of Scramble within the week itself? The parameters of these multiverses are very confusing.
Yeah, I think anything that has happened in a way that seems like a trend is just a coincidence.
Because sometimes they're structure. Like, it's a Scrambleverse week, and other times it's like a Scrambleverse HOH, and then a comic verse Vito, and then a blah, blah. I'm like,
yeah, I don't think there's true structure. Is there a
reason to this? But anyways, it was BB Odd Couples, so they spliced together weird combinations. I think my favorite was probably Jasmine and Turner, just because it's funny that they're besties now, IRL.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked Brett and Rockstar.
Oh, yeah.
I could care less about, what is his name, Jesse?
Oh, yeah, Jesse and himself.
He had too many letters. I feel like he did 15.
Yeah, because they did two each, so he did four, basically.
Yeah, and it felt like that.
And then it was Rachel and Jeff, which is hilarious, because she would absolutely eat him alive. I can't remember if there were any others.
No, I think that was everyone.
Obviously, Cam is coming off of having done a whole HOH week, having it be useless, and then being told, okay, you get to compete. So he's like, fine, like, as long as I get to compete. And then he was the first boot from that competition, followed up by Bowie, then Jag, and then his buddy Red. So the three of them were out, like, right in the beginning, which was fun to watch. Towards the end, obviously, you guys watched, you saw it was Ceri, Jared, and Izzy at the end. Ceri and Jared faced off, and she threw it to him, which I think is hilarious.
So embarrassing.
That, like, your mom has to throw a competition to you. And then the only reason he won was because Izzy hit the wrong button by accident. And we're pretty sure it's because the way the buttons are set up for viewers, it's ABC, but for the house guests, it's CBA. And so you're naturally, your instinct is that A is going to be on the left. And so they were mixing up A and C, because the only times that people hit the wrong button were for A and C answers. Nobody ever hit the wrong button for a B answer.
Yeah, Felicia got it wrong.
I think Mimi also maybe did.
Yep, I think it was Mimi.
And then...
And you could see right after they hit it, they would look, like, oh, and be like, shit. Damn.
I think Felicia actually said out loud, like, I mixed up my A and my C.
Yeah.
And Izzy, of course, hit the wrong button right at the end, which pissed me off because obviously I did not want Jared to be HOH. But beyond, like, the buttons being switched, the competition was so fucking easy.
It was the worst competition of the season. Too easy, too long, like, drawn out, so boring. No urgency in, like, picking. Like, I like when they get a little razzled after they do it, so then they're like, might not pick the best pairing, and, like, someone in their alliance is like, why the hell did you just put those two together?
Yeah, there was no discourse. Like, usually they'll splice in the DR segments in between.
Yeah.
And there was no discourse about, like, I put this person against this person because XYZ.
Yeah,
because,
like, Izzy picked, I could remember, Red, and then Red picked Izzy, and, like, they went back and forth a little bit, and I thought Izzy was very diplomatic in the way she said, like, oh, like, you picked me, like, back at you or something. But obviously, you know, as a viewer, that, like, they're going after Cam and Red in Legends 25. So I was like, was Red, like, that's weird that she picked me again. Like, I know that they have, like, some social tension, but they're supposed to be aligned. And we didn't see any of the response to that. I think they did good jobs picking, like, the strategy they used for getting everyone out worked. But I don't know. It was just very disjointed.
Yeah, it was weird. Also, again, not to discredit Jarrett's win, but he also only won because he basically never got picked. He was in the very first round, and then he didn't play again until he played against Ceri. So he played three rounds, exactly.
Yeah, so he won the first one.
He won the first one, she threw him the second one, and Izzy,
default one.
Yeah, messed up on the third. So Jared won. I was very sad about it. Part of the reason why I didn't watch too much feeds was because Jared won, and I just didn't want to hear him talk all week long.
Bro.
But also, it was just kind of a boring week because, again, it's the same side controlling everything. The one thing that did bring me joy was Jared getting his letter from home and being confused why it was from his brother and not from his girlfriend Kenzo, because he said he put her first on the list of people to write letters. So that to me confirms that she's pissed off at him and probably was like, fuck no, I'm not writing him a letter.
Or Big Brother just really likes Suri and was like, we'll give you your son.
Yeah, I don't know. I could also see Big Brother being like, let's not, because we like showmances and we don't want to like set off bells with like Blue. And he is kind of saying that it's an ex-girlfriend, so that could be a part of it too. But I just like to think that she was like, fuck you, no.
Yeah.
And he's over there saying like, oh, I'm surprised I didn't get my girl Kenzo. I got my brother instead.
Yeah, you know where I stand. I think that she told him that he could do whatever he wants. Yeah. So it's probably just like either they didn't want to put her letter in there, or she was just like, well, I don't want to look like a fool on TV.
Very well could be that.
But I did like that his brother signed the letter. I don't know what he normally goes by, but he signed it. Millie, I think it was Jamil or whatever his name is. Because then you're not going to put together like, oh, wait, your brother's name is Suri's other son's name.
Right, exactly.
Little things you don't think of when you're like putting your list of people to get letters from.
I didn't see what he got for photos. Because everyone,
the dog, for sure.
That was the discourse on Twitter, was what photos was he going to get? Let me look and see, because sometimes they'll post
them. He said that most of them were at or taken by his girlfriend. So I think that there wasn't a ton of family ones.
Yep.
But we did know that the daughter was in one of them. Not the daughter, the dog that we thought when he referenced her a couple times that he had a daughter this whole time.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That was just a whole thing. We really were convinced Jared had a kid. I'm so glad he doesn't.
He would talk about Bailey, wanting photos of Bailey, and we know Suri has a couple grandkids.
And he referred to a baby more than once, so we assumed a child, but I think he was just talking about his dog.
Yeah, and I think you said something about
gender-neutral name.
Yes, gender-neutral. So we were like, Bailey, okay, works for a boy or a girl, but this whole time he just wanted photos of his dog.
Yeah, we were like really going off.
That was the only really like decent drama this whole week. I know. Just the Kenzo stuff and then him inviting naturally Blue to come stay with him in the HOH room, and he like kind of looks at the cameras and says like, sorry, mom, after he asks her, and obviously Blue is aware that his mom is in the house, yep, and Suri is standing right there and can't say anything. And later when they were chatting in the HOH room alone, she was like, I wanted to like grab her, like whatever. And don't think she's on Team Blue still.
Yeah, no. She really doesn't like Blue, which is hilarious. It's even funnier that like all that's going on and Suri doesn't know that she knows.
Yeah. Oh my God, she'd hate her even more. She'd be out the door.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I would love to see it. The only other exciting moment in this episode was Felicia dropping her mics in the toilet. Yes. I figured they would have saved this for the like memory episode towards the end of the season, but they threw it in there. It also was like the only time Bowie got screen time this week, because she got to narrate it, which I thought was weird. But I guess she was in the room when like one of them happened. But we kind of talked about this like earlier in the season when we talked about, what was it? Oh, her dropping the mic in the hot tub, or like falling in the hot tub with the mic.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was funny that they included it in there. There was also the conversation between America and Corey, where she tells Corey that if she won HOH, she would nominate Suri plus Felicia or Izzy. And as somebody who likes America and is annoyed by the steamroll that's happening, I love that, but I also want to tell her to keep her mouth shut and like only say it when you have the power to do something about it, because even though you trust Corey and like he's your boy or whatever, it's gonna get back to them, and Suri is not the one. Like, that is not the person that you want to know you're saying her name. She already doesn't trust America.
It's also weird to say it to Corey. I get that she likes to vent to him about other people and like trusts him, but he is like clearly working with them. Like, she's aware of it. They talk about distancing each other to make sure that it like stays safe for both of them. Like, talk to Jag and Blue about that.
Right.
Not Corey.
Yeah. Very true. And like, if you're gonna, if I don't know, just don't talk about it at all if you can avoid it. That's why, like, Felicia does it a lot, where she'll say, next week I would nominate blah blah, and I'm like, close your mouth
all the time. Yeah, I'm like, because something can change tomorrow,
somebody is gonna use that against you. Like, you should never be saying anyone's name unless you have the power to do something about it, or if someone brings it to you first and then you want to like chime in. But like, you should never be like, oh, this is what I would do. Bad news. Jared's meeting with Cameron was interesting. He asks him how he would feel about going up next to Red. Cameron says, hell no, he's sick of being a pawn, suggests America instead. And then Jared essentially twisted all of his words and tells Red, oh, he threw you completely under the bus. And he drives this massive wedge between Red and Cameron and then puts them two up on the block next to each other, which, like, as a move, I guess, is good. Like, he manipulated Cameron's words, used them to like drive a wedge between his two people who he doesn't trust and is planning to nominate. But I genuinely think that he thinks Cam said those things, even though he didn't.
Yeah. If you were watching it as an outsider, you'd be like, that was really great strategy, like good manipulative gameplay. If you actually know anything about Jared and Cam and Red, you'd just be like, that was just a perfect storm of just three idiots.
Yeah.
Like, there was no actual strategy to it. You happened to get Red and Cam at a weirdly vulnerable time where they didn't communicate with one another in anything other than poems and riddles. And, yeah, Jared just gaslit himself into thinking that the conversation happened that way.
And the even funnier is that, like, obviously we know how the week worked out, so it didn't end up working in Red's favor. But really all it did all week was make people want to keep Red, because they were like, he's not working with Cameron anymore because of what Cameron said about him. So if anything was going to save Red, it was going to be the fact that Jared essentially broke him up from Cam. So I just thought that was funny. I was like, those are your two targets, and you almost saved one of them. The other one saved himself. And then you were going to evict somebody else who you supposedly were sort of working with. Just a weird week, that's for sure. The next episode starts out with Red crying about his divisiveness with Cameron, and Ceri goes and comforts him. And it was just like, I watched the moment on feeds and I was saying to myself, now this is why everybody trusts her and like wants to work with her, even though they know she's running the house and is like plotting against them all. Like, the way she handled it was very comforting, but also within the realm of the game. Like, she wasn't being too much like, I feel like sometimes people get trapped in the thing where they're like, game aside, like, I couldn't see you upset. She did a little bit of that, but like, not too much of it. She still kind of like kept it within the realm of the game. I don't know. It was just very, it came off very genuine, but I was like, she's manipulating all of these people.
Yeah, when it cut to her in the DR, because I thought the same thing watching feeds, but then it cut to her in the DR just being like, he has to play Vito later. Like, I don't want him
emotional. To be down in the dumps, yeah.
I was like, you're brutal.
Yeah.
I do think she's genuine when she like doesn't want to see him crying. I don't think she's like a bad person. But I don't know.
Playing it up.
I flip-flop with Ceri. Sometimes, like, I didn't really want her on at the beginning. Then I kind of liked her. Now I'm like, I don't know if I like you at all. I don't know.
You need to watch her season of Traitors. She was brutal on Traitors. It was so fun to watch, though.
And then it's hard to tell, like, how much of my dislike of her is just because I don't like her son.
Right. And the two of them together, I dislike.
Yeah.
At this point... And, like, I hate to say it, but I would like to see Jared or Ceri go out next. Ideally Jared, but if Ceri went out, I feel like it would be a whole different game.
Yeah, it would be cool to watch.
I would be bummed that she went before Jared, but if not him, then it might be nice to see her go out. I think a lot of people are going to hate that I said that, but that's how I feel. Jared and Corey... apparently have a final two. I knew that they had a final two, but I didn't think it was like a legit thing. And it was very, the way they like showed it in the episode was like, Jared didn't want to be a part of it, and Corey was like the annoying little brother that was like, yeah, but like,
no, it would be funny,
we're together, I'm the, and then Jared was like, yeah, in passing, he was like, yeah, you're the brain, I'm the bronze, and Corey was like, well, I can do strong things too. Like, it was very like,
he's like, I'm brawny,
casual, but from what I've seen on feeds, they are working closely together, as weird as it sounds, because I think that they both hate each other.
Yes, like, I think they hate each other as players, as people.
They talk shit about each other all the time. Corey talks about how much he hates Jared, how he's a jerk, and that he's an idiot. Jared talks about how Corey's unlikable, can't win competitions. And it's like, why are you two working together? But I also think there's something to be said for taking someone to Final Two who you think everyone hates.
Yeah.
Because you think you can beat them.
I think they're just an extra number to each other. And there's just not a lot of Final Twos going on this season compared to, like, a Tyler Crispin season when he was in, like, 48 of them.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, the Final Twos that are out there don't even seem that strong. Like, mm-hmm. We had Red and Cameron, which was believable. Suri, I feel like, from what I've seen, like, has she even locked down? Like, there's assumed Final Twos with, like, Felicia.
Mm-hmm.
Izzy would think she had a Final Two, but is never going to broach that while Jared's in the house.
Right.
America and Corey have had conversations,
but never anything concrete.
But it's never, like, really, like, let's have an alliance name. Like, they have alliances left and right that are named with mm-hmm. 7, 8, 9 people. But there's not, like, a core two
mm-hmm.
that are, like, true ride or dies for each other. Like, even Jag and Blue are, like, good friends hanging out since the beginning. Like, have they named anything
since, like, that first week? Jag's first Final Two didn't work out so well for him. So I think he's dated now.
It's so weird.
It, like, is weird.
Bowie probably thought she had one with Red. Now will, like, think she can get one with Cameron, which is, like, fine. Like, I think they're all, like, have some validity to them. But what the fuck? There's not, like, a real,
like, legit Final Two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Cam and Red, and now
I think America and Corey are, like, our biggest shot, but it's so hard to get a read on Corey.
Mm-hmm.
On, like, where he actually sees himself winning. Like, yeah. I don't think it's with America, even if he wants it to be.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I care about any of them being in a Final Two. Blue and Jag would be cool, but I hate Blue, but whatever.
Yeah, and I'm starting to dislike Jag's gameplay. He's too messy.
Like, maybe, like, Izzy and Mimi, or, like, Mimi and America.
But I don't think Izzy would ever want a Final Two with Mimi. I guess yeah. maybe because she's so quiet and doesn't win anything, but I don't know.
I would, yeah, like, a hard. Mimi and America to start working together. It would be good.
I know. They would be a force, I think.
I think they would like each other, too. I don't see them hanging much. I've seen them have, like, some conversations, but I'm like, I think they just assume they wouldn't like each other based mm-hmm. on, like, kind of how the house split and who they get along with.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I think you guys would get along.
Which is sad. Yeah, because, I don't know. Especially because the two of them were, like, the last two girls in the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
I'm like, team up. You guys could win some stuff.
Right?
But, yeah, Jared and Corey are kind of, like, talking about their little final two situation, and Corey is, like, trying to talk up America, but Jared is not convinced. He's spiraling about her throwing competitions and
liking Cameron.
It's, like, weird.
Weird shit.
I saw on Twitter, and I think I told you this before, somebody was like, America is a good litmus test for men because the men that hate her are awful and the men that like her are great. So, like, Corey and Jag love her, but Cameron and Jared talk shit about her. So it's like, there you go.
It's just weird shit they talk about too. Like, everything he harped on all week, I did not understand.
No. And it's so funny because her DR moment was, like, amazing when he was, like, talking about her throwing competitions and she was like, you got out first in the pressure cooker. I went for 13 hours. Like, the irony. Yeah,
that was, like, what, 2 hours that he was in? Maybe three?
I think it was less than 2 hours.
Less than two.
Jared, don't even come at me about throwing comps. I was in the pressure cooker for almost 14 hours. You dropped as soon as the lights went out. Shut up.
Like, okay, yeah, he won an HOH competition. He didn't really put in that much work to get it.
But yeah, he came close in the Nether region one.
That's true.
But he did get cocky when he thought he got it.
But for someone who spelled the word dongle in a competition,
yeah,
please. So then they picked players for the veto, of course, Jared, Red, and Cameron, and then they chose Felicia and America by random draw, and then Matt was Cam's house guest choice. which of course he can't pick red because red's up on the block next to him. So I don't think Matt was like a super surprising choice. And then of course, after the veto players are picked, Corey immediately goes to America and is like, listen, you can't throw this POV. Jerry's going to be pissed. You have to really like make it look like you're trying. And it's just funny because had she won it, he would have said, see, I told you she was throwing competitions all along. If she doesn't win it, he's going to say, see, she's still throwing them. Like, there's no good solution here.
Yeah, there's no winning.
For her to make him see that she's not throwing competitions. And also, like, what does he care? It's just so strange. There was also some stuff about, apparently, Jared called America the R word. And it was, I think it happened either pre or post veto selection. I don't think it happened on feeds, but Corey and Jared were having a conversation afterwards where Jared said, I'm sorry for calling her the R word. And so there was a lot of discourse online about the hate speech rule that Big Brother has and why was Luke kicked off and Jared wasn't. I think it's a valid question. Where I stand on it is you have this vague policy that basically says you don't condone hate speech or however they word it.
And it does say based on disability, because I saw something that says it lists like four things.
Like categories.
And I'm pretty sure one of the things said like disability.
So it's like, okay, it should be a hard and fast rule then if that's the case. And Luke used a word that's considered hate speech, he got booted. Jared used a word that's considered hate speech, he should get booted. And not to get too much into like the semantics of it, but Luke used it in passing. I'm not saying I wouldn't want him to get booted for that. I think he still should. But the fact that Jared used it directed at someone and they still didn't boot him is wild.
Yeah. I think the driver for them not booting him probably came down to the fact that there's no clip to circulate on the internet because it didn't happen on feeds.
Which is crazy.
Like, all you have is him saying R word and you could be like, oh, no, he called her a rabbit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Which is wild. People were very upset about it. And then the fact that JAG has worked with, like, the Special Olympics. Special Olympics has gotten involved now and is, like, posting stuff. Because I guess JAG's family had been selling, like, Team JAG t-shirts. And then when all this stuff happened, they decided to donate all the proceeds from the Team JAG shirts to the Special Olympics. And then Special Olympics kind of amplified their message, basically being like, they don't agree with the fact that Jared's still in the game and that, you know, somebody who said the R word is allowed to still play. So their way to kind of like give some positive twist on it was to donate all the proceeds from the shirts to the Special Olympics, which is awesome. But shitty situation all around. Yeah, I think they should have booted him just based on the rule and the precedent that they set, but they didn't. So I guess we roll. It's also weird that like it happened during his HOH week, and I wonder if that affected their decision too.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a pretty decent factor too,
because then they would have had to switch up everything, which like shouldn't matter either way, but I just wonder like what they talked about when they made the decision.
Yeah, it's like off feeds, HOH week, after it already happened to someone else in the season. Not things you should consider, but things that I'm sure a business considers.
Mm-hmm. wild stuff. So POV competition was called Sludge Stackers. We all know the little mini cans that they do with the tweezers. You're going to stack them up. My biggest takeaway was the juxtaposition of everyone cheering when Cams fell versus the absolute silence when he won.
It was really good TV.
I was like, oh my God. And at first I was like, why are they doing that? Like, Red's gonna hear it. And then I was like, oh,
It's been a while since there's been someone like just kind of like unanimously hated like this.
Yeah. I was like, Red's going to hear it, but then I was like, oh no, Red's playing. I guess like maybe Bowie was there, but like I don't think anyone gives a shit.
Yeah.
What Bowie thinks.
I'm like trying to think of the last time I can think of a house this big.
Like pitted against one person.
Yeah, like all just being like, and it's personal. Like right. It's not even really game. Like he didn't really do anything against the Alliance. Like, yeah, he shit talks some people and like he wins comps and stuff. But you don't hear them talking like that. They're not like, oh, he's a comp beast.
Right. They just hate him for some reason.
Yeah. Which like I get.
He is a hateable dude.
Yeah.
Something about him. So after the competition, Felicia's having a conversation with I think Mimi and Sari, maybe. And then America walks in and they get all quiet. So then Felicia's like, oh, we were just talking about how you might be the replacement nominee. I was like, girl, come up with anything else. Why would you say that to her?
Yeah, I stand by. Like, I think it's silly to say, but I feel like the vibe within that room was so clear.
Yeah.
That she thought they were talking about her and it got so quiet that at that point, like, maybe you do just have to lean into it.
Right.
It's crazy to say when you haven't had a conversation with Jared yet, but I don't know. She so makes funny. Me laugh. But.
And it's the reason why I think I saw a lot last week that Saria has been dropping a lot of hints about Felicia. They didn't put this in the episode, but on feeds, she's been dropping hints to a lot of people in the house that, like, Felicia needs to go. And it's because of stuff like this. Who's been saying that? Sari. She's trying to plant the seeds, if you will, with people in the house that, like, Felicia might have to go sooner than later because she's talking too much. And this was one of those, yeah, one of those times. So I think we're going to start to see people distrust Felicia because Sari is starting to spread that around.
Oh, yeah, because they didn't play that part on the live episode, but she accidentally outed Legends 25.
Oh, yeah. Who was that to? America?
I think Jag, America, and Mimi. Because I don't think... Is Mimi in it? I don't think Mimi is in it. Because I think they were in the bathroom. I think Jag was on the left. America was right in front of them. And Mimi was on the right by the sink.
She
seemed surprised. Confused. But maybe she just was like acting confused because she immediately clocked that Jag went... Like, what? Huh? Like, they did a good job of not outright being like, what are you talking about? And, like, trying to hide it. But, yeah, she said something. She's like, I don't think it'll be a big deal because, like, Legends. And then she, like, just keeps talking. But you can see everyone in the room kind of like, what are you talking about? And then later, America was like, she told us, like, she's in an alliance with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's, what do they say? Loose lips sink ships. Her ship has got some holes in it. She better start patching them. So, of course, America immediately confronts Jared. And what we know about America from feeds is that she's very confrontational. But Corey has been very good about, like, reining her in a little bit. Because she always talks about how she wants to, like, cuss a bitch out. Or, like, get in someone's face or yell at them or call them out.
Yeah, like, when Heisem threw her name under the bus after he got blindsided, she immediately was like, I'm going to have a conversation with him. Like, yeah, she's wants like, to.
I forget exactly what she said, but something along the lines of, like, I want to tear his ass up or something like that. Corey was like, relax.
She's level-headed enough that, like, she knows she's not supposed to.
Yeah.
But she wants to.
And she'll, like, stomp around and, like, yell stuff to Corey, but then when it actually comes down to it, she doesn't.
It's the equivalent of, like, Mimi having that personality where she's, like, wants to be, like, you're, like, a literal idiot.
Yeah.
But like, just knowing that you have to bite your tongue.
Like, talking about it in the storage room when no one's around.
Yep.
So she goes up and she confronts Jared. My first thought was, why is Blue there? She just, like, sat there awkwardly. And then when it started to get, like, a little bit heated, Jared was like, all right, you can leave.
Yeah. I
was like, why didn't she immediately just realize the vibe and then...
They should have asked her to leave because, like, I'm very, like, awkward. So, like, I could see myself sitting there being like, well, they didn't tell me to leave.
I mean, I feel like I would naturally be like, oh, do you guys want a minute?
But also, if you sat down, wouldn't you be like, if you were America, like, hey, can we have a sec?
Yeah, probably. I guess it's weird to me on both ends. Like, one of them should have been like...
Yeah.
Because I feel like America is the only one that really knew what she was going in there to say.
Right? So, like, if you sit down and just start talking, like, so, like, what's going on? You would think, like, this is just a group chat.
So Jared brings up the pressure cooker. America's telling him that she made a deal. He says he doesn't trust her. He starts calling her out for throwing competitions, that he thinks that she's thrown Sari, Felicia, and Izzy's name out there, which she lies to him and says she hasn't. But that information must have come from Corey, because I think Corey's the only one she's told that's who she would target. So it's not a good look for Corey that he's telling Jared this information.
Yeah, it's hard to know how I think she'd react to it unless we've seen it, because
I haven't.
I feel like they've been clear about playing separate games, and I feel like she uses some of his info every once in a while, so like, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah. My hope is that this is enough for her to, if she ever gets in power, target Jared, because I don't think there are very many other people that would target Jared at this point.
Yeah. And I think America told more people than just Corey that she threw it. So I think you can probably assume that a deal was made.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm like, why does he care that a deal was made? Anybody would do it.
Yeah. He had some stupid reason about, like,
it was about trust.
Yeah.
And like
transparency, they love to say.
My thing is, it's not like she made a deal that was like, keep me safe and target Jared. It was literally just keep me safe for 1 week.
I guess she'd never know, but either way. She should never have told anyone she threw it. I think she wanted them to know that, like, she could have won. Which, right. Like, I would have too, but just
keep you want, like, yeah, you want a little bit of, like, the glory, kind of. Yeah,
because she was like, I could have gone for hours.
Which, like, if you've gone for 13 hours, I don't think anyone's questioning if you could have gone for another hour and a half.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was probably the most drama that we got out of that episode. Aside from the most emotional conversation between Red and Cameron. They had their little breakup by the hot tub. And my favorite line from that conversation was, I think we have to put the chillers on ice.
Yeah, that was good. I just liked when he was like, I'll give you some space.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think Red planned that line before?
Chillers. Reckon we're gonna have to put it on ice.
No, I think it's just a perfect storm.
He's very witty, so I feel like he probably just like popped into his head. But they were both like so bummed. I was like, just have a fucking conversation. Ugh, it made me annoyed because I was like, you're just believing what someone is telling you about someone. And I guess we'll get into it later about like what he talked to Julie about. I think there were other things that lined up in his mind that made him just believe it immediately rather than like asking Cam. But he's your boy. Just ask him. But he didn't. Then we saw a little bit of like Sari pushing for Jag to go home after saving him last week, which is hilarious. And she didn't even have to pitch him to go up as a pawn because Blue did it for her. Which again, just another like little cherry on top of Sari's game where like she doesn't have to do anything.
Nope.
All these people just do it for her. So Blue pitches for Jag to go up as a pawn. Little did she know it was already being planned by Sari and a few of the other people on Sari's side. And of course Jared goes through with it and nominates Jag as a replacement. The next episode opens with Corey tanning and also growing a mustache.
Trying to grow a mustache.
He had a little bit in the next DR segment. He had a little bit of a peach fuzz going on.
Yeah.
But for the record, America did say on feeds that she thinks Corey is handsome and that she never asked him to grow a mustache.
Yeah, technically in that clip when he says he's going to shave it, Jared says, like, don't. And then she just is like, yeah, don't.
Yeah. He was, like, saying, they were saying something about things they liked about each other, and he was like kind of moaning about how he's like not her type or whatever, and she was like, I think you're handsome, also I never told you to like grow a mustache, I never told you to do this, I never told you to do that. She's like, I like you the way you are. Cut to her putting self-tanner all over his body in the bathroom
for the second time, because the last time they did it was when Heisum was on the block and they were up in that little backyard balcony thing,
and it was streaky.
Yeah, well, because I think she used the Tanologist mist, which I have used from Target. It's like a water-based one basically, and that's hard to get right.
Yeah,
This time she had the foam and the mitt. She went all in.
Yeah, I saw her scrubbing up on his armpits a little bit because they were starkly white.
Yeah.
Gotta be careful with the armpits, though, because you don't want them to get too dark.
Yeah.
Then they start to look scary. Tangent. There's a housewife on...
Tangent. Get it?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I didn't get it at first. There's a housewife on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City that one of the reunions, her hands were orange because of self-tanner. And now it's just become a thing that, like, her hands are always orange at the reunions. And, like, now I think she's doing it on purpose.
Yeah. I mean, that is my ideal. I hope to one day go to a wedding or an event as a guest with a horrible tan so that everyone expects that of me. And I never have to stress about getting a good tan again.
A good one. Yeah. It became a meme. And I feel like she either didn't care or just rolled with it after that.
Yeah.
Lisa Barlow.
Is that what happened to Trump?
I don't know, but like, I really dislike that you just compared Lisa Barlow to Trump.
I don't know who Lisa Barlow is.
You're missing out, man.
Is she the one that was in Scream?
No. Well, first of all, it wasn't Scream, and it was someone from a different Housewives franchise.
Anyway. Was her name Lisa?
Jamie Lee Curtis would be upset with you. Kyle Richards from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Her name's Halloween. Kyle? Yes.
Sick.
She is Paris Hilton's aunt. Kathy Hilton's sister.
Some would say aunt.
Some would say auntie.
True.
I say auntie, actually.
Depends on the next name.
On my big age. In my big age. At my big age?
I hated that.
What did I say?
I don't know. Inverse. I couldn't even register what was attempting to be said.
Anyway.
As you said, not to tangent, and I made sure that we tangented.
I told you not to tangent?
You said not to tangent, and then tangented.
Yeah.
And then I made sure that we tangented
even more. Well, to get back to the topic at hand, there was a Legend 25 meeting that happened.
Thank God, with two of their members on the block.
And that's why I remembered that Mimi was in Legend 25, because I could picture her scared little face.
They would hiding cut in to the back, yeah.
They had this whole meeting about how they were keeping Red, and then immediately after, Mimi and Felicia are like, we're really concerned they're bringing Cam and Red back together. And then Red starts talking about rekindling things with Cam, so it's setting off all these alarms. I was like, Red, should have just kept your mouth shut. They never should have had that Legend 25 meeting, because if they kept the animosity between the two of them, maybe Red would have stayed, because they tried to flip to evict Jag instead, but it just didn't work out in Red's favor. It was his birthday this week, though.
The hats, man.
The hats were a killer.
The two hats on Red was... I was gleeful watching it.
Also, I would like to point out that they were committed to those hats. They wore them for a solid 24 hours.
Yeah, it's almost like Mr. Big was like, "I will only give you these hats if they stay on for 24 hours.
Which is hilarious, because I saw a tweet that was like, good luck to the editors trying to manipulate the storyline, because they wore these hats for 24 hours. So, like, you can't splice stuff together because they have a hat in one clip and no hat in the other clip.
And the only time I put on feeds that day, or, like, was clicked into a clip on Twitter or something and didn't see a hat, it would be, like, Bowie for, like, a 15-minute span and all of a sudden back on.
Yep. Yep.
Cam's cracked me up. Matt's cracked me up. Red had two, which cracked me up. Blue's was blue, which cracked me up.
And, Felicia and America matched them to their outfits.
Yeah. I think Corey did too, because he always wears pink, but he had a blue hat, so he was wearing a blue shirt.
Yeah. It was just very cute. And, like, I get it, because they have nothing better to do.
And they were, like, so fucking cute.
Yeah. But, like, it was just so funny. He got his breakfast in bed, which I thought was sweet. And also, Red, basically all week, has been talking about how he always has terrible birthdays and, like, bad stuff always happens to him on his birthdays. So at least his actual birthday was nice. Little did he know they were all plotting to vote him out in the meantime. But they made it nice for him, which I appreciated.
And they gave him the gift of being home with his family.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, this man would have had to rot away in the jury house. At least he gets to go home and see his kids.
Yep.
And he got breakfast in bed. So
the bacon looked a little undercooked in my eyes.
I mean,
don't tell Miss Felicia, because I think she cooked it.
Bacon is always undercooked for me. I want it to be nice and crunchy.
Me too.
So yes, everyone voted to evict Red except for Cam and Bowie, who were shocked and bamboozled that their boy went home.
Yep.
I also think that Felicia and Mimi were told at the last second, because when Felicia voted, she was like, based on recent intel in the last couple hours, and she seemed a little peeved. And then I saw some stuff on feeds that, like, they weren't planning to tell Felicia and Mimi, and they were just going to make it like a 4-6 vote or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there maybe was some drama that we didn't see. But again, I didn't watch feeds as much last week, so I don't have all the pieces to the puzzle. But I think that's another reason why people are kind of like saying Felicia's name a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm.
She was not on board with the plan at first. The most notable thing with the vote for me, though, was Matt apologizing to Julie for getting her name wrong.
So wholesome.
What a sweetheart.
Pre-voting. He cut her off before she even asked. He was like, I'm so sorry.
He's like, hi, Julie. I'm so sorry I got your name wrong last week.
Oh, love it.
He was so upset about it, too. I know you guys, if you listened to the last episode, you heard the clip of him being like, oh, my God, I hope she's not mad. I was like, this poor boy.
Yeah, it was twofold. He was, like, upset that she'd be upset, and he was also upset because it threw him off so much he didn't do any of his shout-outs.
Yeah. But, I mean, at this point, they're already shouting out their dog sitters, so do they really need to be doing shout-outs anymore?
Bobby is not a baseline for the rest of the house.
Fair. Also, Queen America didn't do a single shout-out, I would like to point out.
Oh, shit.
She was the only one, I'm pretty sure.
She did fix her heel in the hallway.
She fixed her heel in the hallway, but she didn't do a shout-out. So she gets extra points.
Impressive.
Red was devastated, though. Like, I think he was just over it and, like, upset. His bestie betrayed him.
He went out without a shirt on.
He had no shirt. His nipples were out.
Yeah, they didn't even blur it.
Jeez. He sort of, though, seemed to realize as Julie was prompting him with questions. Like, you could almost see it in his eyes that he was realizing that Jared was lying about or manipulating Cameron's words.
Yeah, or at least that she was hinting heavily that, like, why didn't you believe?
Because at first, Cam, he was like, well, there's other stuff in the house that lined up with it, blah, blah, blah. The way she framed it, I think, started to click in his brain that he was like, she asked me why I just believed Jared without asking Cam first. Yeah. So, like, I must have missed something.
It did make sense what he said, like, because I was curious, too, and you mentioned it earlier, like, why he didn't just go ask. And he kind of shed some light on, like, oh, I'm the type of person that, like, runs hot or cold, so it's just better for me not to.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't want it to be, like, an emotional blow-up thing.
Which made more sense why he was starting to say, like, next week I'll have to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even, I don't even think, really about, like, when I'm not on the block. It was more of, like, when I'm ready to have that conversation.
Yeah. He also threw out Felicia's name and was like, I think Felicia was behind it. Because she asked who mm-hmm. he was most betrayed by, and he said Felicia. And then I saw on feeds today somebody saying something about, he said that he told some people that he knew some stuff about Felicia, or was going to tell them, shed some light on something that happened with Felicia
maybe
next week.
That she's related to Denzel.
It could be. I mean, she did talk about Denzel to Cam recently, so he's probably spiraling. Maybe he'll nominate her because she confirmed the relationship.
Could be.
Although he said he's a big Denzel fan, so maybe she just saved herself.
That'd be so funny. Cam puts Felicia up, but says something elusive about being related to someone, and then Blue panics and is like, no, it's not Felicia, it's Sari, or like whatever, and like it all comes out, and he's just like, what is everyone talking about? I thought she was related to Denzel.
He's like, wait, Sari's not related to Denzel? What?
It's all a mess.
But yeah, Red finds out about Jared and Sari's relationship, and I think he was just already so emotionally drained that, like, he didn't have a huge reaction to it.
Oh, wow.
He did have an oh, wow, and then he had a good for them, which I think was, like, you know when people from the South say, bless your heart.
Yeah.
It was like a, it seemed like a backhanded,
like, oh,
like,
must be nice, you're in there with your mom.
Yeah, like, he got, like, kind of, oh, this is unfair type of deal. At least that's how I read it. And then they finally did a live HOH competition during the episode, which I've been waiting for.
Someone at CBS listens to the podcast.
Literally, they must have listened to us. Either that or they've got this apartment bugged, because I feel like we talk about that every single
the
time.
The feeds work both ways. They're in the house watching us.
Oh my God, imagine. Every time you turn feeds on, they can see what you're up to. It would be pretty boring for
dodging
them.
Dodging work calls.
Me, like, working in the background or reading my book, eating weird snack combinations. Competition called Name That Toot.
I don't want to talk about it.
Also, another reason why I always regret telling people to watch this show.
Yeah. Don't name it. Don't even name them.
No. Also, they were like, okay, it's a Humiliverse week. And this is where I'm, again, getting confused. I'm like, okay, so all the competitions this week are Humiliverse based, but it's not always that way. So I don't fucking know. But you guys saw the competition. We don't have to recap the whole fucking thing because I'm still mad about it. I really thought Corey was going to pull out the win. If not him, at least Izzy, and they both fucking blew it.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
I will say, I like that Cam won for the scenario that, like, he just got blindsided. Like, I love it when the person who just got blindsided gets power. I just wish it wasn't fucking Cam, and I wish it wasn't somebody who was already HOH.
I also didn't dislike watching Cam as HOH as much as I thought I would. Like, I kind of enjoyed his meetings. Like, they were kind of funny. And the only thing I didn't like was having to sit through, like, him and Red sitting on a couch up there talking. And now that that's gone, I'm like, eh, I don't hate it.
Yeah. My hope is that he does something to dismantle the other, quote unquote, other side of the house, which I guess is him and Bowie versus everyone right now in his mind. I'm curious how he will approach everything.
I'm telling you, it's going to be Jared for spinning the web of lies that made Red think he was backstabbed by him.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't even know if Cam knows that.
I think he probably has most of the pieces he needs.
Right.
Like, he kept saying, for all, like, I know, everything I know, like, I don't think we can repair this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you've got to just be like, okay, mm-hmm. someone's told you something.
And I will say I have watched some feeds of, like, Cameron's meetings and stuff, and I have no indication of who he's going to nominate because he's doing his standard, like, cult leader thing where he talks in riddles and says vague things and just tells everyone he loves them, but, like, he's like, I love you, but this isn't personal, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's vague. He's, like, throwing names out, but then being like, I told you this person and this person. But it's like his way of saying, like, those aren't the real people I'm going to nominate. Like, he's being really weird about it, as Cam does.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Sunday.
Julie also reveals that because this is a Humiliverse competition, every Humiliverse competition win comes with a punishment. This week's punishment is that every single person in the house is a have-not. Except for Cameron. They have to eat the slop, sleep in the beds. There are also additional punishments, but I'm sure they'll reveal those in Sunday's episode. I saw a little bit of it on feeds today, and it's nothing groundbreaking, but there are some other stuff that goes along with it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was funny that she was like, you'll take turns in the have-not beds just because, like, they don't have enough space for, like, everybody in there.
Yeah, like, what else can you do? Be like, we're swapping out the mattresses, or, like, you can't have any blankets.
Or yeah, or you gotta sleep with the lights on.
Oh, that would have been fucking hilarious. Just because, for those of you that don't watch feeds, Miss Felicia has been on a big kick about turning the lights off. She just wants to know what the recipe is for getting Mr. Big to turn the lights off. Sometimes it's two people are in the room, sometimes all four of them. Sometimes it's a certain time. They're also in the pass-through room to get to the other rooms. So normally the lights stay on longer so that you can get through. She is just beside herself not knowing when she can go to bed because she cannot sleep with the lights on.
Which, like, I don't blame her. I can't sleep with the lights on either.
She should be a hostage negotiator.
I know. She's good. And also, it's funny because when she gets her way, she always does smooches.
Smooches. Thank you, smooches. What did she say leaving her DR? You have to put that part in at the very end where she said something about God. And we looked at each other and we're cracking up. Just the way she said it.
Something, praise God.
It was like four words
or something. Thank you, God, or something like that. And I was like, you know, Julie loved it.
Yeah, Julie enjoyed it. And she just nailed the delivery. It was like over the shoulder as she's leaving.
Praise be to God or something like that.
It was well executed. Something like that.
Anyways, I'll put it in here, but yes, when she left her vote.
Come on, God!
After her vote. So she got her shout-outs to her IRL people and the man upstairs. And I'm not talking about Mr. Big this time.
I was like, Mr. Big?
Julie, outlined the schedule changes, which I do not have written down for you here, but Google it before the episode because I think there's some timing changes. I think Sundays is earlier.
No, I think it's 8:30.
Oh, yeah, Sundays is 8:30. I think Wednesdays...
2:08. Wednesday and Thursday are both
as usual. Thursdays at 8. But then there's going to be even more schedule changes down the line. So just when Julie says the schedule changes at the end, pay attention.
Yeah, even if she's wearing an ugly pair of jeans and an unflattering top.
Yeah, you still have to pay attention to the Chen bot. So she also says that she has an announcement for the house guests on Thursday that will affect jury. My first thought when she said it was, oh, Battleback. But then I realized if it was a Battleback, she wouldn't tell the house guests ahead of time.
Nope.
So the theories that I've seen on Twitter, first theory, that jury's only going to be 7 people. Because they used to do 7-person juries, then they upped it to 9 in the more recent seasons. So for
that
some,
was actually my
your theory
too, without flipping through. I was like, I wonder if it'll be like a smaller or larger jury.
Well, then the other theory is that it's going to be a final 3 instead of a final 2 because that's what Survivor does. But
I don't see it happening.
I don't like that. I don't mind a 7-person jury only because there are so many people that I want to go out before jury still. namely Jared, Cameron, Bowie. I actually don't really give a shit if Bowie's in jury or not, but mainly Jared and Cam. But yeah, those are the theories. People are pissed at the prospect that it could be a final 3 instead of a final 2 because they think it gives Jared and Saria another unfair advantage because they wouldn't have to cut either one and you don't have to win a competition to be in the final 2. I also personally really like the strategic aspect of the person who wins the final competition has to choose who they sit next to. I think that makes things more interesting. And I don't know how they would do that with a final 3. Like, do you just choose the 2 people that you sit next to? I feel like it doesn't, at that point, it loses.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do it.
The strategic factor. I hope that's not the case. But those are the theories I've seen. And I don't have a theory of my own. So my guess is jury of 7, though, if I had to pick between those two.
Same.
I think that's pretty much everything. The only other feeds update I have for you is that Corey and America are officially OTP, OTPing.
One true pairing.
Which Blue and I thought meant one true pairing. However, America clarified that it means over the pants. And what I've gathered is that she and Corey were doing some canoodling over the pants. And she was upset. Well, not upset, but she was just laughing at the notion that he will not allow her to kiss him. She was like, even a peck? What about under the covers? Even just a quick one, blah, blah. And he was like, no. So she like respected the boundary. But then she was like, then last night this happened. And Blue was like, well, was it you or him? And she said, both. So I'm over here thinking, there ain't no way. Like, there's no way that actually happened.
I don't know. Like, how much? Like, are we just talking a nudge or a fondle?
Well, that's what I want to know. I'm like,
all the
are
way
you getting
to,
off
yeah.
or not? Because that's a clarification.
And I think, as we said, everyone else's have not. So I think they were the only ones in that room last night, right? Because I did see part of that clip on TikTok after you mentioned it. And I knew it was safe to watch without any sort of spoilers.
So I was like, when I saw the comment, because I was watching live when she was talking to Blue about it. So I was like, no way.
Oh, yeah, I don't believe it. I think she just like is embarrassed because Blue's over here like making the condoms get up and walk away.
Yeah. But then I saw a conversation between America and Corey in the have not room. And it kind of seemed to confirm it. Like the way they were talking, they were again talking like kind of vague. But she said something to him. They were talking about game, and then she was like, do you want to talk about something else? And, like, smiled at him. And he said, he was saying stuff about last night. I wish I knew exactly what he said. I'll see if I can find the clip and insert it. But the way that they were wording what they were saying seemed to confirm it for me.
I don't know, man.
He was like, yeah, I really enjoyed cuddling. And she was like, oh, yeah, I could tell. And then he got, like, really weird. And, like, was like, we need to stop talking about this. And then they both, like, left the room. But there was some other stuff that they said that, like, to me confirmed that it was true. Or at least that there was some heavy petting going on as they would say on Love Island or whatever that fucking show is. There was also a clip of Corey saying, how am I supposed to stretch this out for 60 days? And she was like, you don't have to. Like, this is your rule. And he was like, I know.
I think, well, a small part of it is probably not wanting to do things, like, with so many people, like, viewers watching. I genuinely think it's less about, like, random people in America and more that, like, because he's not like this in real life, he probably is just embarrassed at the idea of, like, his friends and stuff seeing.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. But you would think, if anything, all it would do would be, like, get him some cred. Because he's with, like a really hot, like, older like, girl or whatever.
She's so beautiful. Uh-huh. And he's so, like, standard. Uh-huh. If then that's me being, like, very generous.
Yeah. He's goofy.
And I also, like, I think he's a little funny. I mean, we've been talking highly of Corey since the very first podcast episode when we were beside ourselves that he said face six body nine or something.
Face nine body six.
So like we're big Corey fans over here, but still,
yeah, it's just so funny.
He should be absolutely floored that she's giving him the time of day,
which I think he is, and that's part of the reason why he's so like skittish with everything. But so the dynamic between those two is so funny. But all the people on Twitter saying that, like, A, he's not into it, you clearly just aren't watching feeds. He's into it. He just has made it very clear that he doesn't want to do anything in front of the cameras.
And it's because he smack talks her to, like, Jared and stuff. But he tells her that they need to distance themselves game-wise. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about Jared, you know that he's just leaning into it.
Yeah, totally. So the whole thing is just, like, very entertaining to watch. But the other thing is somebody was like, oh, in real life, like, America would never give a guy like that the time of day. And all the replies were like, 90% of couples, the girl is hotter than the guy.
It's like, I'm like, this is not the first time.
It's something out of left field.
If anything, it's the age gap that makes it like the craziest thing. Uh-huh. This is not the weirdest pairing on Big Brother ever. Right. You had Meg and James. Like, you've had the Nolan twin and Judas.
Yeah, the whole, it's a part of, like, the whole Big Brother experience is, like, you're limited to this pool of people, so maybe she wouldn't go for him outside the house. But also, it's not like that crazy that somebody who's quote unquote out of your league would go for you. Anyways, I'm an America and Corey stan. I hope that
AmeriCorey
stan. I hope that there's at least a peck in their future.
But I will say, I do enjoy when a season ends and then it's a couple that you didn't see coming.
Yeah, like the Claire and Derek thing.
Yeah, or that time, who was that guy that cheated on the girl in Jury?
Oh, Nick.
Nick, yeah. I liked him a lot.
Manifest the truth, bro.
Yeah, when he was with...
He was with Bella during the season. Oh my God, yeah. And then he was with Kat in the jury house. And him and Bella were fucking married by the end.
Sorry, Kat. I know you're probably scoping out the competition, the podcast.
Him and Bella were practically married at the end. She was moving in. She was going to talk to his mom when she left, when she got evicted.
Yeah, they were so cute together.
And then he got into the jury house, fucked Kat, and then...
Now he's somebody's baby daddy.
Yeah, now he has a baby with someone else, which at first when I found out he was a dad, I thought it was Kat's baby. I was like, what's going on here? But I think she dodged a bullet. He was, like, funny on the season, but he seemed like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's not a reliable dude. Who was good friends with Brett?
Winston?
Yeah.
But Winston had no personality, though. He lacked everything.
Yes, not as funny, but they're the same person outside of the house, I
Yeah,
bet.
Probably.
Just, like, absolute tools.
Uh-huh. I forgot about all that. Kat, she probably, like, thinks back to that and is like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Kat looks like the type of person that would be like, I knew it wasn't something I should have been doing while I was doing it, but like.
That was a crazy time.
That was so funny because I think they didn't even avoid it on the, like, not reunion, but the finale and, like, all the jury.
No, they showed it in the episodes. Because otherwise we wouldn't have known. So we all have feeds for jury
funny,
house.
Yeah.
I
love that.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen with America and Corey. What's going to happen? She's going to go to the jury house and then sleep with Cameron instead?
No. Stop. Like Matt or something. Jeez.
I don't know, man. Cameron's really vying for it.
Jared and Felicia.
Hell yeah.
Wait, did you see that one clip of, I think it was Felicia saying, like, oh, like, I can't wait to go home and, like, sit on my porch.
And then Sari. Yes, I did see that.
And then Sari follows it up with, I can't wait to go home and sit on something else.
Yeah, she was like, I want to sit on something. I want to go home and sit on something.
Which made me laugh the first time. And then I saw it again. And someone's like, the fact that Jared was in that room.
So funny. Oh, you got to love it.
Apple doesn't fall far.
Clearly. Thanks so much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed.
To join in on the discussion, use the hashtag OhBrotherPodcast on social media, and you can find me at It's Me Bree Lee everywhere.
And you can find me at Christina Jascott.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
See you later.